Good morning, people of God. Good morning. Good morning, people of the Most High God. Here we are at the feet of Jesus to learn at his feet. Remember, the Bible says, in Christ dwells all the mysteries of God. Today, our message, the integrity of the revelation of God. I repeat, the integrity of the revelation of God. That's our message today. Everybody say, God, God, God. Everybody believes we have God that is a God, the one true God, the creator of heaven and the earth. Even Paul says, the demons know that there is a God and they tremble in fear of his judgment. What about we human beings? Jesus Christ came and said, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he told the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 from verse 20 to 24, you worship what you do not know. How can I worship one I do not know? How can I relate with the one I do not know? I don't know him, but he knows me. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me, and he wants to reveal himself to you. That is the God, the living God we are talking about. We're talking about the integrity of the revelation of God. Let me take you to the book of 1 Timothy. Chapter 3, from verse 16, a verse we all know, but today we're going to talk about it by the grace of God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. You know controversy? There are lots of controversies outside the world. Oh, this is true, this is not true. People debate. People debate. Some say it is true, some say no. Controversy. He said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Let's read it again. Great is the mystery of godliness. God, the invisible, the eternal, immortal God that nobody can see and touch, was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. The integrity of the revelation of God. God is spirit. When Moses, in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, wanted to know God, God called him at the burning bush. He saw a fire of the glory of God. God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God revealed himself to his prophet, Moses. Moses could only see the fire, but couldn't see any face. God said, remove your sandals, for you are standing in the holy ground. And then what happened? God spoke to him. Moses, Moses, Moses. Later, Moses, Exodus chapter 33, said to God, God, show me your ways so I may know you better. Later he said, Lord, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. That's what Moses asked God. Why Moses was asking the way and glory? Because he wanted to know the ways of God. The ways of God are the way of mystery. Everything about God is spirit. That is why we say mystery. The things of the spirit are things that our human knowledge, our mental imagination cannot fathom or understand. That beyond the realm of man's intellectual knowledge and understanding. It takes revelation to see God. It takes revelation to hear the voice of God. It takes revelation to perceive the mind and the will of God. So it means the only way for man to know the mystery, to know God, is revelation. Now, you hear what Apostle Paul said. The same Paul that persecuted the way and rejected Jesus. And the Christian is the one that's saying, Later, when he had an encounter with the Lord on his way to Damascus, revelation came. He's standing now to witness for you and I and for those who come after us. This is the word that stands forever. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in this world, and received up in glory. He's talking about Jesus. He's saying that Jesus Christ is an embodiment of God himself. What a mystery. The Pharisees, Sadducees, the teachers of the law could not understand this. For them, this is the greatest blasphemy they have never heard, that a man is equating himself to the Almighty God. So definitely, they took the highest judgment, the highest sanction, which is death penalty, to anybody who equal to the God. They couldn't understand that. It was a mystery. But that's what the scripture says, that God visited his people. The Lord said it in the Old Testament, but who believes it? Nobody expected God to reveal himself the way he did in Christ. We are talking about the integrity of the revelation of God. Paul, like a Pharisee, very, very knowledgeable in the doctrine of Moses, fought the way. He's saying there is no greater revelation than the one Moses received. There is no greater revelation than the law. But he didn't know something. That the greater covenant, a greater alliance is coming, which God promised in the law, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. God promised that I will have a new covenant. That covenant will be different from the one I had when I took them out of the land of Egypt. But this covenant, I will write my law in their hearts and I will put it in their mind. Ezekiel received the same thing. 36. God has been speaking through the mystery of the prophets through the generation. But nobody understood. They knew there was a promised Messiah, but they didn't know how will he be manifested. Moses, to whom they believed so much, warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. He said, up to now, the Lord has not given you eyes that can see, ears that can hear. If you don't have an eye that can see, an ear that can hear, how will you know who Jesus is? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, Paul said, no one can say Jesus be accursed if you are seeking by the Spirit of God. And no one can say Jesus is Lord unless you are guided by the Holy Ghost. Meaning it takes the Spirit of God to know who Jesus is. When Jesus came here on earth, what's the message Jesus came to bring to you and I, to all of us? Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. What's the meaning of that? And Jesus said to you and I, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing, mean everything of the earth, shall be added unto you. That's what he said. Let me take you to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, and we expand from there. When Jesus came, he began to call God Father. He said, who are you to call God Father? He's the son of Mary, the son of Joseph. His brothers are here, Jude is here, etc. How can he say, I am from heaven? How can he say, what is my father? We know his father. We know his mother. What is he saying? He said, he's my father, he's my mother, he's my brother. The one who hears from God and does the will of my father. When Joseph and Mary find Jesus in the temple, he said, we're looking for you. He said to them, don't you know, I have to take care of my father's business and kingdom right at that age. It is a mystery. I'm saying it to believers today because we call the name of Jesus every day. He's the center of our life. He's the center of our faith. We call the name of Jesus from morning to evening. When we pray, the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, in Jesus' name. When you sleep, in your faith, Jesus. It's part of our lives. We need to understand, what is the message he came to deliver on earth? What is the core essence of his message to humanity? So this message is saying God wanted to reveal himself to mankind. God wants to reveal himself to his creation, to you and me. But how can such revelation be between a man who has a flesh like me and God who is invisible, immortal, eternal, living in the spirit, and I'm here in the natural? Means there should be a connection. There should be a bridge that can link me to God. That connection, that bridge is the way. Isaiah 35 verse 8 call him the highway of holiness. There is a way that can take a natural man to come to the presence of the Almighty God. Moses was an example in the Old Testament of a man God called, sanctified, anointed, and allowed to enter into the most holy of holies, a place to talk with God face to face. And Exodus chapter 33 said, God spoke to him as a man speaks to his friend. We have prophets that receive visions and revelation from God from time to time. But Moses was a special person. Numbers chapter 12 verse 6, God said, if there is a prophet in your midst, I will reveal myself to him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream. That is not the case of Moses. Moses, I speak to him face to face, and he see a form, see an image of me. When that Moses asked God, show me your glory. Let me read Exodus chapter 33. You see what God answered to the man who wants to see God. Let me start from verse 16 first. For how will they know that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we shall be separate. We shall be different from any person, your people, from the first face of this earth. God said to him, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Now Moses continued talking. Please show me your glory. Verse 18. Verse 19. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Verse 20. Take note what God said here. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Exodus 33, verse 20. No man can see my face and live. If Moses, who has one of the deepest revelations of God, can stand and God said to him, no man, no human being can see my face and live. The glory of God, no man can come to the glory of God without grace. And even that grace means Moses could not see the face of the Lord. Moses could not see his glory in fullness. Why? He said, no man can see me and live. That was what God said. But when Jesus came, Jesus said something in the book of John. Let's go to John. John chapter 14 from verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now, you have known the Father and you have seen him. What a declaration. I repeat again. You know what happens? Jesus was with his disciples. They saw the miracles, signs and wonders Jesus performed in their midst. And one day, Jesus called them and began to say this declaration. He said, let me start, verse 6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Everybody knows this verse. That's the foundation of Christianity. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What's the meaning of this great statement Jesus made? You are talking about the integrity of the revelation of God. Jesus is saying, I am the way to the revelation of the glory of God. To be saved is to have the revelation of the glory of God. I repeat, to be saved is to have the revelation of the glory of God. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. When Jesus said that, what did the disciples say? Verse 7, if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now him, you have seen him. Meaning, you have seen the glory of God. That's what he said. Philip said to him, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us. Despite all what Jesus said, Philip said, show me the Father. Jesus said, if you see the Father, you have seen me. So he said, Lord, show us the Father. That's enough for us. And Jesus repeated, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? That's what he said. He never said you have known the Father. Jesus answered him, concerning the question, show us the Father. He said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? That's the key word. You have seen Jesus, has seen the Father. And Jesus explained, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. What's the meaning of that? What is the meaning? Let me jump from here. I'm going to jump to Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. We go through the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, Jesus said one word here. Let me go from verse 40. Jesus said something. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Who is that him? The Father. He who receives me receives the Father. He who sees me sees the Father. Jesus is saying there is a total and absolute unity between the Father and him. This means Jesus Christ is the integrity of the revelation of God the Father. That's what he's saying. Jesus himself is the integrity of the revelation of God the Father himself. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Jesus say more words in it. And we come back to John 14. In Luke chapter 10, I will start from verse 16. Jesus is saying this. He who hears you, hears me. And he who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects whom who sent me. The same way of saying things. There's a mystery there. He who rejects the one I sent is rejecting me, the Christ. If you reject me, you reject my Father. That's what Jesus is saying. Let me go to verse 22. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus is saying this capital verse, that nobody knows who the Father is except Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And nobody knows who Jesus Christ is except the Father himself. And no one knows the Father except the one who Jesus wants to reveal him to the Father. So you can see, Jesus became the center of our faith. So who is Jesus to you? Paul said the mystery of godliness. Jesus clearly stated his divine nature, that he's not an ordinary man, that Jesus and the Father are one. He opened his mouth and said in John chapter 10, let's go back to John chapter 10 and we elaborate from there. Verse 29, my Father, who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30. This is where now we're going to develop our message today. Jesus clearly indicated that if you see him, you have seen the Father. If you hear him, you hear the Father. If you reject him, you reject the Father. What's the meaning of that? Jesus is saying, is revealing his divine nature to everyone. That he is the integrity of the revelation of God as the Father of spirits. May no one can see the Father directly as Moses wanted to know, only Jesus. Jesus sees the Father plainly because Jesus is exactly the same essence, the same nature as God the Father. That's why in the gospel, we heard about the Father, we heard about the Son, we heard about the Holy Spirit. So when we look at it clearly, by the statement of Jesus, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. No one can know the Father except through Jesus. That's why he said to the Samaritan woman, if you knew who I am and who is talking to you, you'd have asked me, I would have given you living waters. The woman said, what kind of water? Jesus said, if you drink this water of this well, you will thirst again. But if you drink the water I gave you, you will never thirst. And later Jesus said to the woman, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. God is spirit. And those who worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. We have to go back to the foundation of our belief. We have to be raw. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. How do we approach Jesus? How do we call his name? We put our faith in him. So if Jesus is the Lord God Almighty, mean he is whom he say he is. He has what he say he has. He can do what he say he can do. Our faith is anchored and based on him. No one comes to the Father except through him. No one knows the Father except through the Son. That's why the Bible says he is our mediator. So God the Father and Jesus, they are the one and the same true God. There are not two gods, there's only one God. The question is, Jesus continues saying, after he spoke to his disciple, let's go back to the discussion in John chapter 14. Now he continues saying, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else, if you don't want to believe what I'm saying, believe for the sake of the miracles you have seen. Verse 12, and Jesus went further and said, not only I am in the Father is in me, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the works that I do here, you also you will do, and you will do greater works than these because I go to my Father. Said. Verse 13, this is what Jesus said. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. He never said the Father will do. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the key verse. The Father is glorified in the Son. The Father is revealed in the Son. The Father is known through the Son. Who is the Son? Who is Jesus there? Where was Jesus before? The Father is glorified, is revealed through the Son. That's what the Bible says. Go and read Colossians chapter 2. He is the image, he is the integrity of the revelation of the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, God has revealed to us the light of the glory of God on the face of Jesus. Take note. God has, that said, let there be light at the beginning, has made known to us the light of the glory of God on the face of Jesus is the integrity of the revelation of the glory of God. That is Jesus. Now, if God said, man cannot see me and live, God came through the Son so man can see him and live. God came through the Son so we can know him, we can see him and live. How can this be? That's the question. Let me take you to what Jesus said in John chapter 17. Let's listen. Before Jesus went back to the Father, he prayed to his disciples and said this one. John chapter 17, verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. Repeat. Glorify your Son so that your Son also may glorify you. Oh my God. Glorify me in the sight of all men. So I can glorify you in their sight. Let them see your glory on me. Let them see you in me. And Jesus said, as you have given him authority over all flesh, the Father has given authority of every human being on earth. That's why the Bible says, Jesus Christ is a judge of the living and of the dead. at the last day, Jesus will sit on the throne and judge everybody. Jesus continued saying, the Father, you have given authority of all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Who gives eternal life? Christ. I am the way to the Father. I am the truth. I am the life. Eternal life. He said. What is that life you're talking about? Verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's the key. Glorify me in the sight of man, so they may know you, Father, the true God, and who? And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you have given me. Verse 5. Take note. Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world began. This is what Jesus Christ said. John chapter 17, verse 5. I repeat. Father, glorify me together with you, oneness, with the glory which I had with you before the creation of the world. I mean, before the world was created, Jesus is. That's what he said. Clearly, whom he is. Saul, who said this is heresy, the same Saul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 to 47, that Jesus is not from the earth, he's from heaven, the heavenly man. So now, if Jesus said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began. So where was Jesus? What was his position in heaven? What was it? Remember, we said the integrity of the revelation of God to human beings. But Jesus was before we were created. That's what he said. He continued saying the same thing. Let me go to verse 22. Father, the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they might be one just as we are one. We are one. I and my Father, we are one. What does it mean that Jesus and the Father are one? If Jesus said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had before the world began, and before the world began, Jesus is. That's why Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I'm telling everybody, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. John chapter 8, verse 57 to 59. So if Jesus was before Abraham, mean before Mary was, Jesus is I am. Before David was, Jesus is I am. Before Moses came, Jesus say, I am. Before Abraham came, I am. So who was before? And he said, the glory I had before the world began. I'm saying this so we can know the foundation of our faith. The Bible says, have faith in God. God has visited the earth through the Son. Where was the Son before? How was he manifested before? What is his name in heaven? Let's go to John. 1 John chapter 5, I read. He said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot him, take note, will also love him. What is the difference between begotten? What's the difference between Jesus and us? Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father in me is the only begotten of God. I mean, Jesus has exactly the same nature, the same essence of God. That Christ and the Father are one, inseparable, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient. Seeing Jesus is seeing the Father. Seeing the Father is seeing Jesus. There is only one way. The only person who is in the fullness of God in the Father is Jesus. Colossians said it clearly, 2:9. In Christ dwell all the fullness of the Father and the Spirit. It's an embodiment of God. When he stood here, when he speak, God is speaking to you. He did what no man has ever done. So Jesus is saying this. Let me go to 1 John chapter 1. In the beginning, John said, that which was from the beginning. What was from the beginning? Remember what he said, in the beginning was the Word. That's where I'm going. In the beginning, before creation, Jesus is called the Word. That was his position in heaven. In the beginning, which word are we talking about? The word of life is Jesus. Listen to what John said. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. What did we hear? The word of life, which we have seen with our eyes. The word became flesh and stood in front of them. They have seen the word, which we have looked upon, and our hands have touched him. Jesus, the word became flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14. Concerning the word of life, that is Jesus. When John is explaining who Jesus is, when you go to 1 John chapter 5, some Bible don't have this verse, but it's a capital verse. It said this: he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God has overcome the world. Then he said, verse 6, Jesus is he who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now verse 7, key verse. There are three that testify, that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. That word, that eternal word, is Jesus. That's the word that was before the creation of the earth. That's the word that manifests in flesh and entered the world to visit us. That word is the integrity of the revelation of God. We can only know God through his word and by his Spirit. You can only know God through his word by his Spirit. And that word became flesh and stood and said to all men, I am the bread of life. Moses never gave you the manna. My Father gave you the true bread. I am the bread. I am the word of life that comes from heaven and gives you life. The word of God is inseparable with God. God and his word are one. Jesus will reveal you God through his word by his Spirit. No one comes to the Father except through the word. I mean, God does nothing without his word. That's John is saying. When Jesus came on earth, he's an embodiment of the Father, an embodiment of the Spirit. So that means if you reject Jesus, you reject the Father. If you reject the Father, you reject Jesus. The question is, based by what Jesus said, no one can know the Father except from him. It is Jesus that revealed the Father to us. I mean, Jesus is the integrity of the revelation of the Father. Now, how do we know who Jesus is? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 said, by the Holy Ghost, no one can say Jesus is Lord unless he is revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. The integrity of the revelation of Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit himself. When Jesus came, he said, I am the Comforter. When I go to the Father, he will give another Comforter. He will be with you forever. He said to them, I will not leave you orphan. I will come and remain in you. Romans chapter 8, whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Jesus. This means, how do we know Jesus except through the Holy Spirit? How do you know the Father except through Jesus? This means Jesus and the Father are one. But we, human beings, we are adopted by the Spirit of God. When we believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the Spirit of God abides in us. And the Spirit of God will connect us to Jesus. That's the statement he gave on John. Father, you are in me. I am in them. And I am in you. I mean, we human beings who are saved, we share the divine nature of Christ by receiving the Spirit of Jesus. Our spirit is new. We have the indwelling presence, but this body remains the same. This body is not the image of God. The image of God is your spirit. So we are partaker of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become partaker of the divine nature of Christ. Mean to accept Jesus is to accept the nature of God, the Spirit of God, eternal life. And we become born again by the Spirit, in spirit, not in flesh. We have a new spirit. We are partaker of the divine holiness. Christ is our righteousness. Sometimes I explain, there's no figure, there's no mathematical symbol on earth that can represent this mystery we are talking about. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I say, like a tree, you have the root, hidden root. That's the Father, nobody can see. You have the trunk, that is Jesus, we see. And we are the branches grafted in him. That's the tree of righteousness. No one comes to the Father except through him. He's our mediator. In Christ we live, we move, and have our being. So, when you say, Father, you pray to the Father, who will come to you? the Son will come. If you say in the name of Jesus, who will come? Holy Ghost will see. If you see Holy Spirit, it's as if you are seeing the Father, you are seeing the Son. So now let me explain something. We have only one and the same true God who choose to reveal himself through the Son, through the Word, and his Spirit. What do you mean by that? Let me explain. Jesus say, I and my Father, we are one. But Jesus is the Word. Mean Jesus Christ and the Word of God are one. Mean the Father and the Son share the same Word and the same Spirit. What's the meaning of this? You cannot separate the Father from the Son and from the Spirit. They are co-eternal. Means co-existent. No one exists without the other. Before the world began, God is eternal. Christ is eternal. Holy Spirit is eternal. They are co-existent. Nobody can separate them. Time cannot separate them. Space cannot separate them. What do you mean by that? Time cannot separate them mean they are eternal. In eternity, in present, in the future. Distance cannot separate them. They are one essence, one Spirit, one God. Mean they are distinct. We have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Ghost, but they are not different in essence. The same and true God. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you receive me, you receive the Spirit of God. And they are one. These three are one. This is what John is explaining. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit are one essence. It's one and true God. There are no three gods. It's one. That's the way God chose to reveal himself to human beings through the Son. And the Son gave us the Spirit. Now, why do you call God Father? Zechariah 12:1 called God the Father of Spirits. He's only the Father to those who are born again, born of his Spirit. How can you be born again? Through Christ. When you accept Jesus, he died for you, resurrect, believe in resurrection, Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to you. And now the highway is finished. The Spirit, Jesus, and the Father. You become part of God's family, born again, born of the Spirit. The question is, how can the believer be one with Jesus? That's faith in the finished work of Jesus, bring the baptism experience of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, we are baptized into one body by one Spirit, the member of the body of Christ. You can see the highway of holiness Isaiah was talking about. The Holy Spirit takes us to Christ, and Christ takes us to the Father. To know Jesus is to know the Holy Spirit. To know the Holy Spirit is to know Jesus. Because the apostles of old knew Jesus Christ, they knew later the Spirit of God. When he sent them to preach the gospel to the house of Cornelius, they talk about Jesus. If you don't talk about Jesus, Holy Ghost will never come. That's why in Acts chapter 8, you can see the Samaritan, when the word of God was preached, they were baptized in water, but none of them had the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they didn't know Jesus truly. Then John, Peter came and preached the gospel, and Holy Ghost came. Acts chapter 19, verse 5. People didn't understand the mystery of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. They only knew the baptism of John. And Paul said, what kind of baptism? Did you receive Holy Ghost when you believe? That's what Paul said. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? In other words, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? They said, we never heard about any Holy Ghost. Then Paul began to talk about Jesus. John said, you should believe in the one to come. You should believe in Jesus. And only then Holy Ghost come. This means the way to the Father is Jesus. I am the way to the Father. I am the way to heaven. I am the way to eternal life. I am the truth. I am the integrity of the revelation of the true God. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Which truth? If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them by the word, for the word is true. When the word of God comes, you believe that word, and you act in that word, you receive Jesus, you receive life through the Spirit of God inside of you. So God is our Father. Jesus is the firstborn. And we all, by faith in him, receive the inheritance of Christ with the Spirit of Jesus. So the integrity of the revelation of God is Jesus of Nazareth. The integrity of the revelation of Christ is the Spirit of God. Now, what is the integrity of the revelation of the Holy Ghost? How do we know him? The integrity of the revelation of the Spirit of God is the living Word of God, the Word of life. The difference between negative spirit and the spirit of God is the word of God. Holy Ghost, the spirit of holiness. He does nothing without the living word of God. We can only know him through the word of life in our heart. Whatever he says, whatever he does, is to execute the will of God in our life. Holy Spirit does nothing without the word of God. So the word is the plan of God for you, the message of salvation. Christ is the gift of God for you. And the Spirit of God helps you to accept the word and that word to enter your heart and make you born again. We are born again because of the word of life. The life of a Christian comes from Jesus. And that is eternal life. In Jesus' name, I want to pray for everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. I pray, Lord, open our heart to faith. Give us the gift of eyes that can see and understand who Jesus is. Give us a gift, Lord, of eternal life through Christ and by your Spirit. Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to understand. Open our eyes to walk in the Spirit of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.